Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Richard Mack on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is the broadcast for March 9th in the year of our Lord, 2021, hour 2 of 2. And I'm telling you right now, our goal is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hour one, Sam Bushman of the Good Sheriff broke down a comparison and contrast. FBI seeks more Capitol rioters as the number reaches 300. It's really 275, but they believe there's 800 involved. But the real question is, when did the January 6th rally decide to go to the Capitol, number one? And number two, how many people really went? Number three, how many people were there? And well, anyway, how many people are going to really be convicted at the end of the day? They've been telling you it's a riotous insurrection. Donald Trump was the lead insurrectionist, but there's no charges against President Trump, I might clearly add. And people are innocent until proven guilty in America, I thought. Sam and Richard have stood against the Malheur Wildlife Refuge takeover, issued a press release back in the day. And we stood against the Capitol event as well, said don't go, won't go well. But now the January 6th rally has been turned into one of the largest frauds perpetrated against the American people in U.S. history. All right? But I want to lay down the truth in this two-hour broadcast. You've got to listen to both hours to be caught up. So the good sheriff's with me, and we talked about the riots and the abuse and the wrong and the government and the ne'er-do-wells and the provocateurs and all mixed up. It's 2 months later, if you will, and it's still raging and hasn't even come close to stopping. And everybody and their dog that stands against Joe Biden is somehow involved in the insurrection. I submit that you can't even call it an insurrection in the first place at all. And it's propaganda and it's vicious fraud perpetrated on the American people. Now, let's contrast that with what we have been doing. So what was it back in November, October, November? We said, hey, we got to put together a sheriff's training conference. Is that where we start, Sheriff?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, tell everybody what happened then. You were there.
Well, when we started it or when we did it?
Yeah, so when we started it, we first said, all right, let's put together this thing. We tried to set ours up in January, and we felt like, oh, that won't work. Too many conflicts, and we don't know what's going to happen with the transfer of the presidency, and things are all up in the air, and so we put it off till February.
Yeah.
And then we felt like that wouldn't work. And anyway, so we had to change things and stop and wait, and then we figured out who was really going to be president, and then we put it back on, and we had to hurry to get it done because we had wasted too much time kind of trying to figure out how the landscape lied, where we could hold it, where they would allow us to hold it because of the COVID. It went on and on and on. Anyway, the bottom line, then about five of us scrambled. Poor Sheriff Richard Mack's wife. But anyway, she worked so hard. About five of us scrambled so hard to pull this event off. So now fast forward, kind of, so that people understand. We did pull it off. Tell everybody what we did, where we went. We'll start there.
Well, I contacted the sheriff in Montgomery County, who's a big-time supporter of ours, and I'm good friends with him.
You got to tell him what state, though.
Texas.
There you go.
And I actually helped him campaign for his first run, and I opposed a guy that was actually endorsed by local Tea Party groups, and I didn't think they actually had done their homework, and I told them so, and I said, you guys need to understand what a true constitutional sheriff candidate is, and so we had that, and so I guess because I was defending, Deputy Rand Henderson at the time, and now Sheriff Henderson, that he took a liking to me, and he appreciated my support, and we've been friends ever since. So I said, we're doing this conference, we need a host county, and we want you to kind of be the co-host, and you invite everybody in Texas to come, the sheriffs in Texas, and then local law enforcement in your community. And he agreed to do so. So you and your daughter, Nicole, put together that flyer where he was mentioned on there, and the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and CSPOA cordially invite you to come to this conference. And boy, I'll tell you what, he recommended this Woodlands Resort. And the greatest fear we all had was that they were going to say, no, the Woodlands took a hit during the cold crisis and the freezing crisis. And I know it was a real crisis because my son lives in Austin and they couldn't get running water and had to go to a hotel to get a shower. But a lot of the hotels weren't working either. And the hotels that were up and functioning were charging $1,000 a night for a room. And so, anyway, the conference went on miraculously, and the date was the 26th and 27th of February. And miraculously, you and Tanya and my wife and your kids and everybody put and Tanya's son Ryan started getting everybody called and started getting the emails out. And we just started getting one miracle after another of people that wanted to attend. And then sheriffs found out about it. Our focus was Texas and the surrounding states, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi. And we definitely got sheriffs from all of those. I don't remember if we had one from Oklahoma or not, but we definitely had some from all the others and a lot of them from Texas. And Texas sheriffs were really engaged and really excited about it, and they came. And overall, there was about 110 public officials, 55 of those sheriffs. Then we had deputies and a highway patrol officer and a couple of judges and city council members, a couple of sheriff candidates, and I think that's about it. Anyway, it totaled about 110 public officials and then about another 75, 85 activists and people who just wanted to be there. And I guess it's really time that I read the tribute, I would call it, from Sheriff Scott Williams of Coryell County, Texas.
And by the way, this is one of many, but probably one of the most poignant ones. And this is by an elected sheriff, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, sir.
Well, and I would say that the one that touched me the most until he wrote this to me and sent it to me yesterday on a text was Sheriff Raimundo del Bosque of Zapata County. He's a border county. He was there because he wanted help with the horrible influx of illegal immigration into his county and through his county. He's a very sincere Democrat. His undersheriff was there with him. Both of them were wonderful. They were the only two attendees, except for the Washington Post, that wore masks. Masks were optional. They were totally fine doing so. It's their choice. That's what a mask
that.
Is. That's what a mask is, Sam. It's your choice because you live in a free country.
And, no, Sheriff, you only have a choice to murder your baby. You can't choose about putting a diaper on your face, okay?
Yeah, I forgot about that part. But after the event, Sheriff Del Bosque asked me to take a picture with him. We took the first picture with his camera, and then he goes, "Oh, whoops, I still have my mask on." It doesn't do any good to take a picture here with you if I have my mask on. So he took his mask off. I didn't tell him to. It was all his idea. And then we took another picture, and that picture has been posted and going all over the place. Sheriff Del Bosque is a sincere, honest man who happens to be a Democrat. There were other...
And by the way, let me highlight, is the reason that this can be is because we are not interested in partisan politics, ladies and gentlemen.
We are not.
The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is about, and I'm going to summarize as a layman. I'm not a law enforcement official of any kind. I'm just Joe Blow volunteer. But the CSPOA is about helping people understand their oath of office. It's about training to carry out the constitutional responsibilities they swear to uphold. And it's about learning to de-escalate situations and protect and defend the American people from all enemies. And that might be government. That might, who knows, all enemies. That's what the sheriff's responsibility is. And he's elected to do that very thing, Sheriff.
So, yeah, so Sheriff Del Bosque was probably the most moving and touching experience I've had at one of the conferences in a long time, because he was so engaged and so proud to be there. And then what did he do? He invited me to his county, wants some follow-up training, and he wants to take my wife and me to dinner. And so, I mean, it couldn't have been a more congenial and beginning of a wonderful friendship between Sheriff Del Bosque and me and the CSPOA. And it's exactly what we've been after, and Sheriff Del Bosque epitomized that. Then I get this email, this text yesterday, and I'm saying it word for word. I changed nothing. I didn't even
edit. All right, hold on. I want you to give it after the break. I'm not trying to dog you. I just want to give a chance
no,
to
that's
be completely
better. Yeah,
delivered.
Great.
Okay? We'll come straight out of the break, and we'll hear this text that Sheriff Richard Mack got from an elected sheriff who attended the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers, the County Sheriff America's Last Hope training event that took place in Texas just recently. And what we're doing on your radio is comparing the January 6th event, which is nothing but disaster for everybody, even not involved. last hour, with what we've been working on and what we've been doing and how incredible it was, we're just documenting who's who. And by the way, for the Washington Post, who I'm sure will download and listen to every word, I tried to invite you people on the radio to have your say in why you were there and what you thought of the conference, and so far you've chickened out. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, baby.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
We're the ultimate compare and contrast, ladies and gentlemen, between the January 6th riots that are a meltdown for everybody in the country, not even those that are not even involved. Okay, it's just a disaster and continues. But we were working on the peaceful event that took place in Texas with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And we're giving a comparison and contrast between those two events. The peaceful, the county sheriff, America's Last Hope public event that took place in Texas. We're comparing those. And so here's some feedback that we received from an elected sheriff about our event. Richard?
Okay, this is what he texted me yesterday. And it was out of the blue. I hadn't had contact with him since the event. Sheriff Mack, wanted to reach out to you and tell you thank you for devoting your life to preserving our constitutional rights. My name is Scott Williams, and I am the duly elected sheriff of Coryell County, Texas. I met you at the Woodlands 2 weekends ago. I want you to know that I am very much on fire and would love to assist you in your efforts to inform as many sheriffs about their constitutional responsibilities. Please reach out to me if you should need my help. Thank you, sir, and God bless you for all you do. Triple exclamation points. And Sam, that so moved me and so touched me that I read it to my wife, and we both just sat down, and both of us got a tear in our eye because we've been doing so much work on this. And since then, the phones have been ringing, and the emails have been going crazy, and the orders have been going crazy. And my sister-in-law and my wife are trying to get those orders done, and they're still behind. And I'm the one who runs them to the post office from here. My sister-in-law does it from the Safford area, Pima, where she lives. And so Dawn shares with her the orders. And while we're gone to Austin on a spring break, and by the way, I've been asked to speak in Hawaii, and I'm going to go do that too during spring break. And Tanya is going to come here and run the office. So I'm paying Tanya to come out here from Texas so that I don't have to, Dawn and I don't have to train anybody, because Tanya's already trained and she's been here. She was there when we founded the CSPOA. But we just looked at all the work that we'd done since.
Not only that, I just got to say this on the radio. Tanya has been the best supporter worker you have ever seen in your life, people. I know she gets zero credit publicly. I get credit kind of because I'm a talk show host, not that I deserve it. But but Tanya and Sheriff Mack's wife, Don Mack, they literally get zero credit because they're not in the limelight in any way, or they don't speak, but yet they do so much work. And I'm just telling you, I want to give them a shout out. We love you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, go ahead, sir.
That is true. Neither of them, I've even asked both of them if they want to speak at any of these, and they both say no way. But they're wonderful people. Everybody has their strengths, and they definitely have theirs. And man, Dawn, literally at 12:15 last night or early this morning, said, "Okay, I'm done." And so then we went to bed.
Not done, just done for the day, people.
Just done for the day is correct. Yes, she goes, "That's all I'm doing for today." You're right, because that's that's what she said. Let's go to bed. So
anyway, just amazing. And so we were at this event, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to give you the summary now that you've heard from a sheriff. I interviewed some of the sheriffs as well from Texas. They're on the radio. WAPO, download those suckers and listen. Okay, and what I want to really tell the Washington Post, who refused to come on the radio with me, they didn't really refuse. Let me tell you how they did it. They said, "Well, I'm not sure if we're allowed to. Let me check with my staff and I'll get back with you." And then they never got back with me. Okay, that's factually exactly what happened.
So did you talk to Dalton Bennett? Is he the one?
I'm not sure.
Or was it the other guy?
I think it was the other guy.
Okay, Andrew, I think.
Yeah, I think it was Andrew. That's right. Anyway, and so all I'm telling you is, and I politely said, "Listen, I'm not here to bait you. I just want to, you know, have you guys come on the radio, tell us what you guys are working on, tell us how you guys felt the event went, what you thought of it, etc." And I, you know, and so they have not really refused yet. I'm hoping they'll still come on, but I doubt it. They haven't got back to me. They didn't show much interest, but I made it absolutely clear that, hey, I'd like to interview you guys and talk about your experiences. Because here's what happens every time somebody goes to our conference, Sheriff. They first go thinking they're gonna watch us, you know, drop something in the cauldron, and they're just going to be smoky and crazy, and a bunch of insurrectionists are going to get up there and tell you how they're ready to just run over whatever and do this and that. And when they get up there and they get there, they get guys like me that get on stage and say, "Yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center says I'm a hate-filled guy and I love you, and, you know, it's just me. And by the way, how do you deal with the Ten Commandments in redneck?" And we tell a couple of jokes and have a little bit of fun, and then we make a patriotic pitch for, you know what, we're the American people, folks, and we've dealt with tough times in America, and I know things look bleak, but you know what, there is hope. Hope in God, family, and country. Hope in the protection of life, liberty, and property. And then I sit down and they go, well, that guy's kind of weird, but he wasn't so bad. And then Sheriff Richard Mack gets up and says, yeah, I beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. And so peacefully, Bill Clinton was trying to arrest me. And, you know, in the civility idea, I said, well, let's just go to court. And so we did. And the sheriff wins and he documents that greatest 10th Amendment decision in modern history for states' rights that's ever been delivered, in my personal opinion. And so he gets up and he tells how he started out as a jerk cop writing tickets and ended up a patriotic constitutionalist who now spends his time every waking hour promoting how to keep your oath of office, how to de-escalate when you're in a situation, how to understand your role as a peace officer, how to appropriately relate with the public in meaningful ways to build relationships of trust. And then Richard sits down and four or five sheriffs get up and go, hey, man, the federal government's out of control on the border. We can't be having the border leak like a sieve. It's a national security crisis. And the next sheriff gets up and says, you know, I've really learned a lot becoming a sheriff. And he tells a few stories. And then we train and educate and deliver these messages. And when we get done, these people at the WAPO go, well, there ain't nothing to report here. I was hoping to kind of tell you about the witch's cauldron that, well, there wasn't any fire. We just had dinner together. I don't know what to say. Somebody got up and sang, or somebody, there was a band that played. They were just a Western swing Texas country band. No one got, well, a few people danced. And people were talking and mingling and buying books and educating themselves. And, well, my gosh, they didn't wear masks and people gave hugs. That's probably the worst offenses that they committed. And I don't even know what to write about. And they find themselves in these quandaries and they either write a hit piece that's full of lies or they deliver the truth, or third, which is what they do most of the time, they write nothing, Sheriff.
Yeah, I was wondering if they're even going to do a story. They've sure spent a lot of time and money on this non-story. But, you know, I think they're going to do something, but really the big story to me is that there's nothing there and all the lies that have been told about it.
Well, nothing there if you want to talk about bad stuff like they're trying to deliver. There's plenty there.
Yeah, there's lots that they could talk about, but according to their sensationalism and they're wanting to expose this as part of the January 6th quote insurrection, you know, there's nothing there. There's no avocation of violence. There's no support of criminal activity like, you know, like Kamala Harris has done.
There's no partisan politics.
When I talked to him, I said, why is it that Kamala Harris can support the violence all summer long and she gets a free ride, but you're trying to go after us for supporting violence and it's not even there?
So one of the highlights of the event, we had a bunch of sheriffs in the room, some legislative elected officials and this kind of stuff. Steve Toth was there, state representative from Texas and others. And one of the highlights is we were thanking all the different people for putting our conference together towards the end. And Sheriff Mack thanked Dawn and Tanya like we've done on the radio today. They deserve so much credit. Anyway, and then he has my daughter. She's 12, and he tells her to stand up on a chair, and she's embarrassed as all get out. The sheriffs are clapping at this little girl who they all met as they bought books and got free pamphlets and learned about the Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, America's Last Hope. And they learned about it and got books and talked to the good sheriff. And there was a Q&A and everybody answered questions and talked about a variety of different things. And anyway, then my daughter stands up on the chair and she gets this this thunderous clap from the crowd or whatever because she helped. And folks, this is about family. This is about turning to God. This is about the county sheriff, America's last hope. This is about understanding the checks and balances in America and using them for peaceful restoration. And then the WAPO comes and they sit there and they kind of stay aloof from everybody because they don't know what to expect. You know, they're waiting for us to roll out the seance or something like that, or somebody to roll out in capes. I don't know what they expect. I don't know what they expect to happen at these conferences, Sheriff.
Yeah, you know, some voodoo thing or something, I don't know, or they want us to, they literally want us to say, let's start shooting federal agents.
Well, we're never going to say anything like that. It's never been our mantra, ever.
No.
And here's the truth, I think they know that, Sheriff.
They should, if they've done their background.
Now, we do play the late Charlie Daniels, though, This Is America kind of songs, come on.
Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Santa Clarita, California City Council is set to discuss a vote of no confidence for Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon during Tuesday's City Council meeting. City Council members are set to discuss the special directive set forth by Gascon and take action as deemed appropriate. Desiree Anderade tells Fox News her disbelief.
And it's coming from a man that truly does not care about us victims and is totally pro-criminals at this point.
Desiree's son was beaten to death by supposed friends. The discussion comes after the City Council's public safety meeting called for the City Council to take up a vote of no confidence with Gascon's special directives favoring criminals over victims. And on a follow-up, the illegal immigrants who were involved in a fatal California highway crash last week near El Centro, California, reportedly paid up to $10,000 each to be smuggled across the U.S.-Mexico border. The 25 immigrants were jammed into a single SUV that crashed into a semi-truck. 13 were killed. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. In July of 2017, I was in a catastrophic car accident, and I broke my neck, the base of my skull, my back, my ribs, and both legs. As you might imagine, getting a good night's sleep has been a real challenge. Well, then at CPAC in 2019, I met Mike Lindell of MyPillow. Mike wanted to help me to get a good night's rest and introduced me to his pillows, his mattress topper, and his Giza cotton sheets. I can tell you they really work. And Mike has authorized me to offer you a special discount on MyPillow products. Call 800-662-9236. That's 800-662-9236. One more time, 800-662-9236. Use the promo code Pastor Greg. That's Pastor Greg. Or you can use it at the MyPillow website.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
President Biden on Monday seemed to forget Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's name at a White House event, calling the Pentagon chief the guy who runs that outfit over there. 78-year-old President Biden has previously struggled with the names of his own cabinet secretary selections. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said President Biden will give his first primetime address to the United States on Thursday to mark the one-year anniversary of lockdowns across the nation due to the coronavirus pandemic. Venezuelans will be getting special treatment at the U.S. border, Dan Naraki reports.
The Biden administration will offer protected status to undocumented Venezuelans in the United States. An estimated 320,000 Venezuelans will be eligible to receive temporary protected status. According to Homeland Security officials, the move was made because of the extraordinary conditions in Venezuela, where nearly 5 million people have fled from in recent years to escape economic hardships and humanitarian crises. The temporary protected status allows people to live and work in the United States until conditions improve in their home country.
USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so the Washington Post attended our peaceful event in Texas, Woodlands, Texas, and it was the County Sheriff of America's Last Hope training event for Texas sheriffs and public officials. The first day the public was invited. The second day it was just public officials and sheriffs. And we all were talking and educating and having a phenomenal time. You heard the feedback. There's a lot more feedback where that came from. But the Washington Post did not want to come on the radio with us, at least so far. I invite them to come on the radio. We'll have a peaceful, gentle conversation, even if we disagree. But we will demand the truth. We will demand accuracy in media, okay, in reporting and what happened, etc. But the contrast and comparison between these two events couldn't be more stark, Sheriff. The comparison, I would say, is that both events were intended to be peaceful. I believe President Trump telling people to come to the Capitol and hearing his speech was a peaceful intention. Now, they claim that that's not true, but I submit to you that we don't have any evidence to the contrary. I submit his event and our event were both intended to be peaceful and to help Americans stand for their patriotism and literally learn to deliver on what they believe in as God-fearing Americans. I believe that to be true for a comparison.
Yeah, I think so. And there's probably two other things also at the event that I'd like you to give a review of. First one is, I started my whole presentation by showing a video of a deputy named Stan Lenick in the Albany airport, where it could have got really out of control and he could have been tasing people and beating people and throwing them down and handcuffing them. Instead, he peacefully and professionally protected their right to be there and hand out flyers. The airport authority was really mad at they weren't protesters, they were just flyer passer-outers. They were pamphleteering.
Yeah, let me tell you this. They were peacefully assembling for pamphleteering purposes, which they have every God-given right to do.
Correct. And so they were doing that, and they refused to give their identity to the airport authority, the manager of the airport, and the deputy literally told the airport manager, they do not have to give you ID. And then earlier, when he first walked up and he told them, we want you to be sure, so the sheriff's office there in the Albany, from the Albany County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Stan Lennox said, we want you to know this is your constitutional right. Now, Sam, what we say there, as you well know, you've heard it lots of times, we say to every peace officer, sheriff, and public official, this is all we are after. We, meaning CSPOA. We are after every deputy and every peace officer in this country being trained to do what Stan Lennox did that day. We keep the peace, we protect the rights of the people, and we make sure that there's no violence or mishandling of the situation between the airport authority manager, whoever it is. Doesn't matter, could be anybody. It could be the manager at Safeway or manager at the Circle K, doesn't matter. But we keep the peace between the two who are having a disagreement. We make sure it doesn't get out of hand. We de-escalate anything like that. And Sam, what we said there, that I hope WAPO took note of this, that the best de-escalation in this country is an officer who knows and understands the Constitution and keeps his oath of office as he executes his job. That's what we're after. That video was perfect and epitomized what we're after, and we love Deputy Lennox, and we're so grateful that he was such a good example to us all.
Incredible leadership, by the way, at a previous conference. Didn't we invite him to come?
To this one?
No, to a previous one.
Oh, yeah, he got the Deputy Sheriff of the Year.
So I'm just highlighting previous conferences for the WAPO to know what we do at previous conferences, too. So we brought him in and gave him an award for his heroism, for his incredible leadership, for his de-escalation efforts, for his desire to protect the people, and for his desire to uphold the law and his oath of office. Now, I ask you, WAPO. I ask you, media. You tell me how this relates to an insurrection, please, because I simply do not get it.
And I asked WAPO when they were interviewing me afterwards. I said, who does that hurt? Who does it hurt if we follow the Constitution? Who does it hurt if we're enforcing the Bill of Rights? And they said, well, there's some people that think that that could lead to violence. Oh, my gosh. How on earth does it do that? It de-escalates violence. This whole thing, if we respect everybody's rights, and then also, Sam, as you know, I said, if we're going to get, and this is something you and I talked about the last several months, and that's why I put it in there, if we are to achieve unity and civility, there must be something that we all agree on. And if that's not the Bill of Rights, then unity and civility will never be achieved.
And if that's not the Ten Commandments and the Constitution as well, you can say, true. I'm not religious, but still, you got to agree with thou shalt not steal.
Yeah.
You got to agree with, okay.
That too, though. No. I'm not letting you get away with that. You're the one that said in the conference, it boils down to two things.
Yes, sir.
Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. And there you are.
And so I want to ask the WAPO for a nationally syndicated talk show host, Sam Bushman, to get up and publicly speak before all these sheriffs. I don't have any creds when it comes to law enforcement or anything else, okay?
Right.
But I do have a pretty good ability to share my views in a way that makes sense for people, right?
Yeah.
I bring that up to say, I get up to these sheriffs and I'm like, look, the whole goal here is to don't hurt me and don't take my stuff. And that applies to everybody, including law enforcement. And I kind of made a joke about the redneck Ten Commandments, and I had some fun with it. But the point is, look, I'm saying don't hurt me, don't take my stuff. Now, that's in contrast with the Jan 6th event. Everybody was hurting people and taking stuff, if you believe the mainstream media. I believe a tiny sliver of people who intended ill from the start certainly did that. But the majority of the people, the million people, the 100,000 people, they didn't hurt anybody or take anybody's stuff. None. So, WAPO,
well,
who is accurate in the media here? Me?
Yeah, no kidding.
Or thee?
Right. Well, there's one other thing I wanted you to point out about the conference.
All right, before you get to that, I want to just tell the Washington Post, I'm not here to beat you up. What I'm really here to do is try to encourage you. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. We'll encourage you. That's what my goal is, to encourage you to come clean. Okay? Don't ride for the brand of your boss with an agenda.
Right.
Tell the truth. If you are touched at that conference in a meaningful way in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, at any time towards the patriotism we were standing for, then write about it and tell about your story. If you went there thinking that it was going to be a cauldron of witches or I don't know what kind of goofy, crazy insurrectionist idea you thought we had, but you found it was completely 100% the opposite, write about it. If you disagree with us 1,000%, but you believe we are sincere and honorable in our efforts, because I can disagree with somebody but believe they mean well. I can disagree with, I'll take Ammon Bundy, for instance. I don't agree with going into the Mount Hare Wildlife Refuge. He knows it. I've told him that 1,000 times on the radio. But I also support his right to choose as he will, and I still think he's an honest, well-intended gentleman with a great heart, and I love him to death. Okay, I can think that about people too. So even if you disagree with us, but you believe we're sincere and we're honorable in our intentions, yeah, I'm pausing on purpose. Write about it. If you feel like there were a lot of good sheriffs and good people there, write about it. If you believe there was education that was meaningful there, our de-escalation efforts, our desire, then write about it. Okay, I'm not trying to beat you up, WAPO, or any other media. What I'm trying to do is get you guys to do the right thing, to not have a narrative based on divisionary politics of some kind or based on an agenda that somebody tells you go and get the goods on somebody or whatever else. I want you to be open and honorable and candid. And if you feel like there was something at that event, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, America's Last Hope training event in the Woodlands, Texas venue, if you believe something there was underhanded, dishonest, I want you to call me and talk about it because I can help you understand exactly who we are and what we were doing like nobody else can. Why? Because I'm not a sheriff. Why? Because I don't have any agenda. You've heard me for 25 plus years on the radio and you have never heard me call for any violence of any kind, ever. Sheriff?
Okay, there's one other thing that I think was really powerful, and I want you to give your analysis of it
you
and your
it.
Perspective. When I used Larvita as Rosa Parks.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to do just that, ladies and gentlemen. We went to Minnesota to Larvita's restaurant, and we defended her right to open and support her family. Then we invited her to the Texas event so the sheriffs could meet her and learn about her story. We'll do it all. I'll talk about it in seconds. We're also going to talk about how Gary spoke out boldly, nobly, and independently. And we'll do it in seconds on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Richard Mack on your radio. Comparison and contrast between the January 6th riotous event by a few provocateurs, then the media in bed with government, including the FBI, betrays the people with the greatest fraud in American history, acting like everybody's an insurrectionist, including the president of the United States at the time. And you and I are insurrectionists, even if we weren't there and even if we spoke against going to the event, they say. Out of control, ladies and gentlemen, got to call them on the carpet for their fake news dishonesty. No doubt about it. But, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking about that in contrast with the constitutional sheriffs and peace officers. America's Last Hope, the county sheriff, America's Last Hope event that took place in the Woodlands, Texas. And Sheriff Mack got up and spoke. Phenomenal job educating about his win against Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court and the incredible 10th Amendment decision that rendered. Okay, the greatest states' rights modern decision we've ever had, written by Justice Antonin Scalia. God rest his soul, I might say. And then Sheriff Mack highlighted a couple of examples. He talked about the deputy that was in the airport that defended the rights of the people and de-escalated. That's how he started out. But he continued and he pulled a lady up on stage with him named Larvita McFarquhar. And Larvita McFarquhar is from Minnesota. And she runs a restaurant. I'm trying to get it handy here. Haven's Restaurant? Garden Haven's Restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, Haven's Garden. Sorry, folks. I just wanted to get that right.
But Haven's, you remember, Garden. I didn't call her up. I went down into the audience to her.
Okay, so he called her up when he was in Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he went down to her at the Woodlands. But nevertheless, the point I'm getting at is she runs a restaurant. She's a black lady. And she simply says, look, you cannot shut down my restaurant and my dance studio. I cannot feed my family if you do that. So she remains open. She's getting fines. They're threatening to arrest her. It reminds me of Sheriff Mack's case when Bill Clinton threatened to arrest the good sheriff. Nevertheless, Sheriff did not get arrested, and he beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. Wow. And now you look at Larvita's case. So he goes down in the crowd, and he explains her story. And he does so in a way that really helps people understand what's going on here. Comparing it to what? One of the first stands for human rights and for civil rights in modern times, Sheriff?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's accurate.
All right. And talking about, hey, Rosa Parks, does Larvita belong at the back of the bus, a shut-down restaurant? Or does she have the right to say, no? And most importantly with that then comparison, what should sheriffs have done back then instead of arresting her? They should have sat down beside her and said, ma'am, welcome to the blessed country of America. We're not only going to, and then Sheriff Mack tells this story, what he would do and what he thinks should be done in the future to people like Rosa Parks or people like Larvita McFarquhar. Ma'am, we commend you for your stand. You are within your rights. In fact, like the people in the airport story, you're within your rights, and we're going to protect and defend you. That's what we do as peace officers. And so then Sheriff Mack tells a story that they should have sat down by her. They should have helped her and escorted her home to make sure she was safe, given her a safe passage and a comfortability factor. And really made a bold, noble, oath-keeping statement, which is, you know what? We're going to uphold the law. We're going to protect the innocent. That's what we were elected to do, and we will not apologize. We will not equivocate. We will not back down, but we will peacefully de-escalate, protect rights, and keep our oaths of office. And this story was told in this group of sheriffs and others to help them understand who they are and what they've committed to in their oath and where they stand before God in the deliverance of that oath. God, family, and country, where they stand to say, hey, this is not Tinker Toy Games. This isn't something that you just go, blah, 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 throw it in a drawer and it's over. This is a God-given commitment that you make about that you will honor your duty as an elected official, that you will take it seriously, and that you will that you will carry out that oath to the best of your ability with complete fidelity. Not, oh, I cheated sometimes, with complete fidelity, honoring the people whom you serve. And that's what the training is about. Sheriff, how'd I do?
Oh, wow, Sam, that was great.
That's what happened, folks. We were there. And the sheriffs were there. And by the way, let me make this very clear. The WAPO was there. The Washington Post was there. Are they going to write about it?
I hope they do.
Are they going to compare it to Rosa Parks and carry forward the message that we're trying to get across? It isn't about black or white. They call us racist. They lie. It isn't about left, right. It isn't about Republican, Democrat. It isn't about any of those divide things. It isn't about males versus females. It isn't about any of those things. It's about don't hurt me and don't take my stuff.
There you go again.
It's about Larvita McFarkler. Not because it's about her individually per se, but it's about our rights that are God-given, that the whole purpose of government, with all of its checks and balances, vertical and horizontal, with all of those things intact, to make sure that we protect those rights. If government doesn't do that, what is the value of government? I can find a plenty of brutal criminals and crooks and whatever that'll hurt me and take my stuff. The last thing I need is the government doing it. But I'll tell you this, the husband that lost his veteran wife at the Capitol on January 6th, I think he's saying, I don't know if you call a wife stuff, so I better expand my definition a little bit. Don't hurt me and don't take my wife. We might say to the Capitol Police on that day, in contrast to the peaceful, constitutional, peace officers and sheriff's association, CSPOA.org, become a lifetime member now, please. But I digress, except to say, while that's happening, the Capitol Police are shooting people and the FBI is trying to round up everybody. Poor Donald Trump's going, I was just trying to get people to look into the concerns we have about vote fraud, and it went all off the rails. And Sheriff Richard Masco and I just wanted to invite Larvita McFarquhar down and help people know about her plight and what we can do to protect her. And the Rosa Parks of modern day should be protected and defended, loved and supported. That's what we do as sheriffs. That's what we do as deputies. That's what we do as peace officers, whether we're elected as sheriff and we have a sheriff's department or whatever, even if we have a police department and it's not elected, it's appointed and then hired for office kind of a thing, or hired for a job. No matter what the scenario is, the principles that underlie the intent by our founding fathers remains the same. And we pray to carry forward that legacy. And these conferences are designed to do just that, to understand the sacrifice of our founders, to understand the sacrifice of our ancestors, those who went before us, and then to carry forward their traditions and lay down legacies for our future generations to do the same. What for? To peacefully carry out the responsibilities that come with the freest nation on the planet. Right? We can do this, people. And then the WAPOs are like, a bunch of insurrectionists got together and whacked out, went crazy, and what? Even the hotel staff liked us, Sheriff.
Yeah, they did. And it was kind of refreshing that nobody at the hotel demanded that we put our mask on, even though all of them were wearing them. Even the director of catering and conferences, her first name was Missy. She had a mask on the whole time, but she didn't demand that I put mine on. And again, I want to reiterate, a mask is your choice. And I think you drew a very appropriate comparison that the only time Democrats and Republicans, but mostly Democrats, agree that it's your choice is if you're going to kill an unborn child.
Now, let me give you a comparison and contrast. In January 6th event, nobody had guns but the government. In the CSPOA event, I don't know how many people had guns, but a bunch of them. And I don't know how many were open or concealed, but I'm telling you right now, that place isn't a place you want to attack. A bunch of sheriffs won't tolerate it, sir.
Yeah, there was a lot of people wearing the sidearm on the hip.
Well, and I don't know how many people had concealed either.
No, we don't know.
And we don't care. We just know that we're grateful for it. Because it makes for peaceful events, people. Guns in the hands of the good guys is a great thing. And it helps with the don't hurt me, don't take my stuff plan, too. All right, folks, we had an incredible time at this conference. I'm telling you right now, every conference we have, it's almost like we get together afterwards and go, I don't know if that could have went better, or I don't know if that could have gone better. It was the best one, and we say this every time, and it's kind of for different reasons that it was the best one. But even our resolution that we put together in 2014, I think it was, we brought that forward, and everybody applauded and loved it, and there's a plan for a 2.0 of that coming out of this conference.
Yeah.
The WAPO can get a copy of that, and, you know, I want to know what part of that they disagree with.
Right.
But so many incredible things happened. We don't even have enough time to get to it all, sir.
No, we don't, and you left one little thing out when I asked your daughter to stand up, cute little Anna, and she was so personable the whole time she was there working with you and working for the whole conference and helping us with the book sales and so on and helping my wife and at the table and spotting my wife at the table when my wife had to go and run off to do other things or go to the bathroom or whatever. And when I asked Anna to get up on the chair so everybody could see her better, I said, isn't she beautiful? And, man, that got a real reaction from the crowd. And a lot of it was kind of a reverence response. Wasn't a lot of cheering then. When I first had her stand up, they did cheer quite a bit. And then when I said, isn't she beautiful, then there was a little bit of cheering. But more, it was like, oh, the crowd went, ah, you know. And it was really a beautiful experience, a spiritual experience, actually. And as you alluded to, it definitely brought together God, family, and country, and that it is about family. And as you know, we brought Jimmy in, who you're good friends with.
Yes,
my
I
son,
am.
My youngest son. And it was good to have him there. And he did a lot of work, too, and really helped. And he's strong as an ox, so if you need boxes and books and everything moved around and tables and... He's really good at that, and he's worked a lot of these with us. I mean, he's worked them all over the country, and so we were glad that he came in from Idaho, and he's doing a lot better, and we're proud of him making some strides in his personal life.
And we love him, and we'll pray for him. Now, I'm not going to apologize, ladies and gentlemen, that my daughter's white. You want to know why?
Why
I'm
would
white.
You?
Because I'm white. And my wife's white, and so we make white babies, okay? Now, I'm not going to apologize that Larvita McFarquhar is black and that her daughter that came too is black. You want to know why? Because we have incredible rich heritage and history, and we're Americans standing shoulder to shoulder for the great cause that we've talked about for 2 hours, the cause of peace, the cause of liberty, and the County Sheriff's America's Last Hope Initiative that we're going to absolutely deliver like you've never seen before in the year, or this year, 2021, and years to come. Sheriff, final word's yours.
Well, Sam, it was God, family, and country. It was very spiritual and patriotic, and I can't wait to have the next one.
Amen to that. CSPOA.org. Become a lifetime member today, would you please? I'm one and highly recommend you become one as well. And we've got some cool things to reveal in the next several days of where we're going and what we're doing this year. It's going to be incredible. Hang tight for the ride, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman taking on the WAPO and more on your radio. All right, for Sam and the good sheriff, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States.